Good morning to all. In Jesus' name, this is Daniel King again. I have this passage here in Jeremiah that I'm looking at this morning, Jeremiah chapter 20. And I was reading this morning and reminded that sometimes God gives us a calling that isn't easy to fulfill. It's obvious here in Jeremiah 20 here, apparently one of the priests from the synagogue or the temple there had taken Jeremiah and put him in stocks and had left him there overnight. And the reason he did that is because he heard what Jeremiah was prophesying, and he didn't like what Jeremiah was prophesying. And so anyway, the next morning he took him out again, and Jeremiah took that opportunity to talk to him, and he told him that it's going to be in the near future that it says here in verse 4, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judea into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the laborers thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah, will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon." And thou, Pashur, which was the name of this priest, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there shalt thou die, and shall be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. So, this was right after this priest had put Jeremiah into these stocks, and Jeremiah turned around and explained to him what's going to happen in his future. And I do find that about the only way that we can survive, the only way that Jeremiah can survive, so to speak, spiritually, is if he continually is looking upward, from his strength. And it does appear like he was doing that. He did have his battles, though. He goes on to say, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived, for thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." So what he was saying there is because of the mocking, because of the pressure, because of this pastor and his friends that were prophesying lies, and they were prophesying good things about the people of Israel, or about the children of Israel, when in reality the children of Israel were not living according to God's ways. And I do believe that we need to encourage one another, but it just struck me that if someone is actually not living according to the will of God, it doesn't necessarily help them a whole lot if we just praise them all day long, or just, you know, just praise them regardless of the lifestyle or the way they're living life. And I was just reminded once again that it's always best if we speak the truth. If someone is doing well and walking in the light that they have, to encourage them and to continue to encourage them to press forward. But I'm often amazed at the reality when we become honest before the Lord, when we, like Jeremiah here, his message was not popular, but he had the courage to continue to speak. And what actually was happening there is God was putting a message inside of Jeremiah, and the message was accompanied with power. The message was accompanied with God's power, and it was like a pressure that was building up inside of Jeremiah. And that pressure built up to the point where it confused him, because he himself was feeling like what he's saying is not what he should be saying. He was feeling that. And yet as soon as he stopped saying it, it was like a pressure that built up, almost just something he could hardly live with. And so finally, out of desperation, he would just start speaking what the Lord had given him. And it's such a conflict that we go through in this life as Christians. And the thing that I would like to just encourage all of us here this morning is to continually look upward for our message to the people. Flattery and slander, and I think we had talked about that earlier this week, but those things can be so earthly and sensual and carnal, and people are tempted to do that because they want to be accepted. And here Jeremiah obviously would have not been able to prophesy like he was prophesying if he would have been caught up in that spirit of flattery, or if he would have been entertaining the flattery at all. But he was basically just speaking what the Lord had given him. And Jeremiah ended up being sort of like a hero in the end of it all. But always at the moment, at the time, Jeremiah was fighting a difficult battle as far as the people around him. And the other thing I'd like to encourage us this morning, that Jesus willingly drank the cup of bitter suffering. And sometimes I wonder wondering which time it would have been easier to live in. But I do find it a great blessing to be living in the days after Jesus Christ. I don't know how it would have went Jeremiah or some of those, the people in general that lived in the Old Testament times, not having Jesus Christ and his life to look off of. But I was just encouraged this morning that when Jesus faced the cross, when he faced a difficult time in his life, he knew it was the will of the Father, just like Jeremiah here. He knew that it was the Father's will for him to move forward. He took that cup and he looked in it, and there was all kinds of things in that cup. And he sensed that God wanted him to drink that cup. And yet there was a terrible battle going on, just like Jeremiah there. There was a terrible battle going on as he stopped and looked into that cup. There was those nails in there. There was the crown of thorns in there. There was the mocking. There was the betrayal of Judas was in there. There was the denial of Peter was in there. There was that scene there of all his disciples forsaking him was in that cup. There was a scene there of him looking into that cup and his disciples just falling asleep and not taking in, not bearing that suffering with him. And then there was the Roman cross was in there. But even in addition to that, there was something more difficult than all of that. He saw sin in there that he had never committed. He saw in there accusations of things that he had never done. He saw in there murder. He saw fornication. He saw filthiness and uncleanness. He saw homosexuality, prostitution, and idolatry. He saw in there witchcraft. Everything that man has ever done here on this earth was in that cup, and he was supposed to drink it. And he kept stalling out. He kept saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. And yet he knew that this is for the very thing that I came for. For this hour I've come. And there was such a conflict going on. But in the end he said, not my will, but thine be done. And after that he surrendered. After that he surrendered to this call from heaven. And after that, he was able to go through what he went through and come out victorious on the other side. And I think we all, as children of God, will have our moments like this, some to a greater and lesser degree. But I believe that every person will have their moment like this. And we have Jesus who went before us. And with the same reward that Jesus had, we will also have. We will have our lives here are only temporal. And as long as we are connected to the Father, as long as we keep looking upward rather than around us, rather than around at what people are saying, we're going to survive. We're going to make it. So may the Lord be with you and guide you and to do what God is asking you to do today.